time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Well, I'm so glad you've joined me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I apologize for taking a short break for about a little less than a week there from our regular broadcast schedule. We had a death in our family, and unfortunately that happened, and so we had to attend to matters with our family out of town, and so I miss giving this podcast, but just wanted to tell you why I was gone, absent during that time. Hey, listen, if this podcast has ministered to you, as it has many others, would you consider supporting this podcast ministry? And you know, we have people that are supporting us for less than $10 a month. And, you know, just something that just a couple of lattes a month, you know, and others are supporting us a little bit more, but we need you and we need your support and we need you to come on board because it makes a difference in freeing me up to be able to spend time producing this podcast. I do everything. I am the sound engineer. I am the recording artist. I am the post-production producer. I'm the web developer guy. I'm everything here. And so it just helps me to know that you're behind me on that. And so if you can do that, supporting this ministry, and how you do that is very easy. You just go to jeffkinley.com and click on that donate tab. And when you click on the donate tab, it'll take you to a place where you can set up a monthly donation. And you can do that for any amount that you so desire. But it always, and I mean this, it always makes a difference. You know, small ministries are great or impacted in big ways when individuals come along. If you have a ministry that has, you know, a multi-million dollar budget per year and you give $5 a month, sure that helps, or $50 a month, that helps. Of course it does, but not in with the same impact as it does with smaller ministries. In this particular ministry, we are making literally a worldwide impact based upon the fact that we're just doing this right here in my little office here, sitting at my desk. And then when you participate in that, you have an opportunity to help make that happen. And so whatever happens through this podcast ministry, you share in that and you have a huge part in that. And I want you to know that because those are not just marketing words. Those are not just words that people use to try to get people to give their ministry. It really does make a difference. So thank you. Go to jeffkinley.com, click on that donate tab and just say, hey, Jeff, I want to get behind you for X number of dollars a month to help keep these broadcasts going. And we're talking today in episode number 217. And it's the third in a little series in the book of 3 John. And we're talking about the truth because John was talking about the truth. You know, it's very interesting. When people talk about the Apostle John, they always call him the beloved apostle, which he was. They talk about him being the apostle of love because he talks a lot about love in 1 and 2 John, which he was. You know what people don't talk about? They don't talk a lot about John being the apostle of truth. And Paul usually gets that title. But John was a man of truth. John loved the truth. And John was also the prophecy apostle as well. I mean, he received an entire book, the book of Revelation, as Bible prophecy from Jesus Christ. And so he's really this multifaceted guy. But you know what? None of it makes any difference unless the truth is true, unless he participates in the truth that God had given to him, that he had witnessed with his eyes, that he had heard with his ears. And John is passing on some of that truth. And we talked about in the first part of 1 John how he had encouraged this disciple named Gaius. And he was talking about how pleased he was that Gaius was walking in the truth and how incredibly awesome that is to be able to see someone in a life that you've invested, see that person bear that fruit. And then he talked about what it meant to walk in the truth. And we saw that as well in verses 5 through 8, too. But now I want to go to this third part of this little bitty epistle. It's only 14 verses long. And talk about what it means to witness for the truth. What does it mean to witness for the truth? You know, a witness, when someone is put on the witness stand, they're there to testify. they're there to talk about something. And John gives testimony to the truth in two ways in the remaining part of this little epistle. He talks about what truth is not and in whom truth is not. And he does that because he wants you to know how to avoid those who are fighting against the truth. And John does this because he wants to help us guard the truth. The truth is, you know, some people think, well, the truth is the truth. I don't really need to know it and that kind of thing. But no. If you don't know the truth, you can't defend the truth. And so many Christians today are so weak in defending the truths of God. And the reason they are is because they're not in the Word of God, which is where the truth is. Jesus said in John 17, I think it's verse 17, your word is truth. So if we're not in the truth, we can't defend the truth. And you know, there are times, and hear me now, there are times when it's okay to name names. That's not being mean or judgmental or rude or caustic. I'm not saying that's your primary ministry, because we can't go around just correcting the world and straightening up the church everywhere we see that it's missing the mark. But there are times, just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. And there is a time to say, hey, you, by that name, stop it. Hey, church, avoid this person. And John does that, beginning in verse 9. He says this. He says, I wrote something to the church. So he's writing to this little church here that we believe may have been meeting in Gaius's home there. He says, but Diotrephes, this man, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. We meaning Paul, we meaning the apostles, we meaning Paul and his traveling companions, primarily the apostolic teaching there. He says, he does not accept what we say. Now listen to what's going on here. In the New Testament, the apostles' teaching and what the apostles are teaching the church is God's word, not God's word necessarily from the Old Testament, but God's word as it is being revealed in real time through them, which we know now as the New Testament, okay? And so the apostles carried what's called apostolic authority. And that authority came from being personally commissioned by Jesus Christ. We don't have anybody today living that has been personally commissioned by the resurrected Christ in person. But the 12 apostles were, and the apostle Paul was. And so we have that in the New Testament. And when you disagreed or questioned or did not accept what the apostles were saying, in essence, you were telling God, I don't accept your word. And that's what's going on here with Diotrephes. Now, earlier, Paul had written to the Corinthians in a very interesting passage. And by the way, 1 and 2 Corinthians, part of what Paul's doing in those books is defending his apostleship, because false teachers had come in and said, Paul, he's nothing. He's just this guy who thinks he knows, you know, what he's doing. And we're better than him. We have more eloquent explanations, and we're better at explaining things. So don't listen to Paul, listen to us. And Paul came back, and there were times, again, there's a time for everything. There were times when Paul said, hey, watch it, Bubba, I'm an apostle. And there are other times when Paul just said, you know what? We're just like anybody else, but we are still apostles, you know? I mean, even told the Thessalonians, he said, we could have demanded certain things of you because we're apostles. But he says, no, what we proved to be as a nursing mother among you, very tender, because it says we have affection for you. And we see in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 3, but it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you or any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. And what Paul's saying here is that this is great, because when you're standing in the truth, by the way, this is what you can say too. Ready for this? Paul is, in essence, is saying this. Your opinion of me matters very little. In other words, I really don't care what you think. Now, I care about you, But if you're disagreeing with what God says in His Word, then your opinion really doesn't count. It doesn't count because it's going against the Word of God. So you don't get a vote in this, Paul is saying. And you don't get a vote in judging me, Paul says. Now, not because he's sinless or because he's perfect, because he over and over again tells us he's not perfect. He tells us that all over Romans chapter 7. But what he's trying to say here is that when I'm speaking for God here, and when I'm coming with pure motives, you don't get to judge me. In fact, Paul says, I don't even judge me. I don't even know the depth of where everything's coming from in terms of my own personal motives. I'm very confident about the Word of God. But then he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. In other words, just because I don't know that I haven't had any, you know, bad motives or impure motives or selfish motives, he said, that doesn't equip me. That doesn't make me perfect. That doesn't make me guiltless. Because he says, but the one who examines me is the Lord. And so, again, not saying that someone who is a preacher or Bible teacher cannot be questioned or cannot be called to task. In fact, that's exactly what Paul does to these false teachers all throughout the New Testament. So it's obviously not that. But he is saying that when he's speaking for God here, that your opinion really doesn't matter if you're going up against the Word of God, okay? And so therefore, he says in verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 4, do not go on passing judgment before the time. What's the time? Well, the time is the bema, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, that every single believer is going to appear before. He says, don't pass judgment on me before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. In other words, Paul is saying, your opinion of me matters very little. God's opinion of me matters a lot. And then I'm looking for God's approval. That's what he's saying there. Now, this guy back over in 3 John, Diotrephes, it says he doesn't accept what Paul says. And he's going against it. He is making a judgment against Paul. And so Paul says in verse 10 of 3 John, for the reason that he doesn't accept the authority of God's word, which is what we're saying. For this reason, if I come to you, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and he puts them out of the church. So those brethren that had come to this church, these traveling missionaries, he didn't receive them. He didn't like them. And he refused for others to receive them as well. Paul says, when I come, I'm going to deal with this guy. I'm going to do business with him. I'm calling him out right now in this letter. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that it wasn't unloving for Paul to do this. Why? Because Paul was protecting the sheep. Paul was guarding the purity of the bride of Christ. And there are times when we can say about that blogger or that podcaster or that celebrity preacher or that author, hey, don't read that guy's stuff. Don't listen to him or her. Why? Because it's not measuring up accurately against the Word of God. They're either rejecting clear truth from God's revealed Word, that's A, B, making up their own truth, C, misconstruing or misrepresenting or misinterpreting God's truth to the extent that it harms the body of Christ. Now, no one's perfect in their interpretations, and there are times when, you know, I've gotten it wrong as I've studied the Bible and I've grown in my faith and I'm still growing, okay? So it's not that. It's not that we don't have error at times or we miss the mark a little bit, but it's the idea that they were rejecting God's clear word. And that's part of testifying for the truth. You're on the witness stand testifying what the truth is, what the truth isn't, and who's representing the truth, who isn't representing the truth, and Diotrephes wasn't. He says in verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not seeing God. And this is not just a standalone verse here. It's in the context of this paragraph. He's talking about Diotrephes. He said, the one who does evil is not seeing God. The person who rejects the cleared, revealed word of God is not from God. I don't care if they call themselves Christians, pastor, preacher, doctor, reverend, it doesn't matter. If they do not receive the word of God, they are not of God. They have not seen God. They have not had a personal encounter with God and have not related themselves to God properly through Jesus Christ. Now he flips it here in verse 12 and he says, Demetrius, on the other hand, has received a good testimony from everyone. So Demetrius is someone who is in the church. He apparently is encouraging the church to receive these traveling preachers. He's encouraging the church to receive the words of Paul, or the words of John, rather. I may have said Paul earlier. And he says he's received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. There's another mention of the truth here in this little bitty epistle. The truth. He's not just testifying to the truth. The truth is testifying to him. And when you read the truth, when you hear the truth, when you understand the truth, it reflects back on the person who has aligned themselves with the truth. And so that's why you see, you know, some great Bible teachers and Bible preachers and students of the scripture in churches, people like that, that are testifying of the truth, and the truth testifies of them. And you look at their life and you look at their words and their beliefs and their teachings and you go, wow, you are just, man, you're nailing it. You're right down the line. You know, when I was a young boy, I participated in this little contest in my hometown called the Punt, Pass, and Kick Contest. And without boring you with the details, it was basically a football contest where you had to kick a ball, punt a ball, and throw a ball as far as you could, and you had to do it on a straight line. And however many feet you were off from the straight line, they would deduct that from your total length. Well, lo and behold, I won that contest at age 10. I won it again at age 11. And at age 13, I won like the state championship or whatever. And I've got these trophies for that. And I haven't won any trophies since then, okay? So don't get me wrong. I wasn't that great. But as a young child, I had a little something going for me, okay? But here's the deal. That's the way the truth is. It's like if we veer from the truth, from the straight line of the truth, then we miss it. And as far off as we veer from the truth, the further we go down the road, the further off we are, just like hitting a golf ball. You know, you shank a golf ball, you hook a golf ball, it's just going to keep going to the right or to the left. Well, that's what Diotrephes was doing. But on the other hand, Demetrius was hitting it straight. He was cutting it straight, handling accurately the word of truth as Paul told Timothy. That word, that phrase just means to cut it straight. And he says, you know, our witness is true, John says. And so John is just saying, look, we're giving you the straight up truth. Demetrius is a man of the truth. Diotrephes is not a man of the truth. One you listen to, one you don't listen to. That's a way you can witness for the truth, by giving testimony to those who are declaring the truth, supporting those who are declaring the truth, and by not supporting those who are teaching the flock astray, leading the flock astray, or misleading the bride of Christ. You know, I don't know if there is an issue today in the world as it relates to the church, the bride of Christ, that is more critical and more important than the truth of God. It's the one thing that Satan chose to attack all the way back in the garden. Satan had one opening act. He had one opening line in all of history to mankind. One. He had one chance to make an impression. What did he do? He cast dispersion on God's word. He tempted those in the garden to doubt God's word. Did God really say? And he's doing the same thing today. It's the same old ploy. And you know, he must be on his back, holding his belly, rolling in laughter, going, I can't believe they're still falling for it. But guess what? We are. And that to me is the greatest tragedy that's happening in the church today, is because Christians are falling for lies, and they're, you know, even the Christian world. Look, don't trust the Christian world, okay? Don't just blindly trust the Christian world of publishing. Don't blindly trust the Christian world of recording and music and work, quote unquote, worship artists. Don't trust the world of media and broadcasting. Just because they have the word Christian on it, you have to still measure this thing up against godly men and godly principles that these godly men follow. And so there is a measuring stick. It's not just because it makes us feel good that we accept it. And so Paul's saying, hey, or excuse me, John is saying, you know that our witness is true because the word of God is true. And he goes on to say, I had many things to write to you, but I'm not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. You want to be with them. But I hope to see you shortly and we'll speak face to face. Peace be with you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. And once again, you know, Paul wanted to highlight those who were standing and witnessing for the truth. So walking in the truth and witnessing for the truth, but also working for and with the truth as well. And that's that little epistle of 3 John, man. It's powerful. There's a lot in there in just 14 little verses. I hope that's been an encouragement to you, and I hope that you'll walk in the truth and witness for the truth this week. If you can support this ministry, this podcast ministry, do so at jeffkinley.com. God bless. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.